Welcome to Big Talk for Breeders. My name is Michael Doherty, a show jumping breeder from the west of Ireland. And in each episode, I'll bring you a new interview with a successful sport horse breeder. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now let's get started. This is episode number 35 with Hanno and Marina Kunka. In this episode, we discuss the family's rich history in sport horse breeding, how the couple approach mare selection, foal assessment, their views on the differences and similarities between eventing and show jumping breeding. We look back at some of the career highlights throughout Marina's international eventing career, as well as some of the stories of Olympic homebreds such as Chin Chin and Zucchero, and Hanno's involvement in the Holsteiner Verband.
I first wanted to start off by asking you something about you two. I think it's quite something to have a couple where you have both an Olympic show jumping breeder and an Olympic event rider. It's quite a combination. So could you tell me firstly, when and where you met?
You want to know from the beginning?
Yeah, exactly.
Event rider as well. So that was easy.
Okay. Easy to find out.
Yeah.
We met in this, this sport.
Where and when?
Okay. You know, we both live in the northern part of Germany, Marina at that time in Lower Saxony, I in Holstein. She, of course, rode on another level than me. But anyway, we met because it's a small group of people here in Germany, the eventing riders. But the main thing is we met in Warendorf. I studied agriculture. And after that, after finishing the university, I went to Warendorf, to our national federation, and worked in the office for the horse breeding office. And at that time, Marina started riding at the DOKR. It's our Olympic committee.
Okay.
And so we met there in the stable because the stable is next to the office. And in the end, we shared one flat, and that was the beginning.
It's very convenient.
Yeah.
And then Marina had a contract for 3 years, and after that we made new plans. And because my father had a farm at home, we decided to go back on the farm of my father and make business with horse breeding and riding. And that was 1999.
Was it always clear for both of you that you were going to have a life in horses or in the horse industry?
Yes. Yeah.
For both. You too, Marina?
Yes, of course, yes.
We love that.
Hanno, you are the third generation of your family to be involved in your breeding program, if I'm not mistaken. The previous generations have also been quite successful in sport horse breeding. What I'm curious to know is, what are the things that really stand out to you, your learnings from your father and grandfather in particular? Like, what are the things that they taught you about breeding horses that have really stayed with you or stuck in your mind?
Well, you know, I never met my grandfather. He died very early.
Okay.
And that was another time they had horses for the work in the farm. And it was my father who developed that horses to sport horses. That was in the 15th and 16th. And that was the time when the tractors came and nobody needed horses anymore. And so most of them went to the slaughter, and some of the farmers kept the horses to make sport horses because they were keen on sport and show jumping from the beginning. And at that time, a lot of good mares family got lost in Holstein because they were good horses, but they were not needed anymore because the tractor came. And it was the farmers who were very busy in sport as well, which kept the good mare families and developed them to sport horses. And my father did that very, very successfully from the beginning. And it was the time when they used a lot of English thoroughbred horses to develop the Holstein breeding to the sport horse. And you know, the grandmother from Chin Chin, it was a small mare by the thoroughbred Sorgenbrecher. It was a German thoroughbred, not really important one, but it was a successful step to make a new breeding with these horses.
Was there anything about the way that your father approached breeding, or was there anything in particular that he taught you about breeding or making combinations that really has stayed with you until today? Or have you taken very much your own approach to it?
Well, yeah, you know, I think he had a big talent to judge a horse and to make his choice in the for the stallion from a mare, and to use what mare and what stallion. That was a talent of him, but he never took me on the side and said, "Oh no, you have to do it that way, or you have to do it that way." But we worked close together, of course. In the beginning, he was the breeder and I was the rider. I had to break in the horses and compete them that we can sell them. That was that time. That was before I was studying and when I was younger. You know, I broke in Chin Chin when I was 15. And then we sold him with the Holsteiner Verband to America. And then he came back to Germany and then to Mexico. With him, every mare had a chance, you know. He used mares I would never use nowadays. But he believed in the mare and he tried and tried and again and test this stallion and tried this stallion. Very good example is you know, the stallion in Ireland, Kanya Makan.
Yes.
Do you know his breeding?
Canturo out of...
Firului, French stallion Firului.
Okay.
And then the grandmother from Chin Chin. And I remember this Firului mare. She was a horrible mare.
Yeah, I also had to ride her. And he
and
said, yes.
He tried a lot of stallions and it was all normal horses. And in the end, we had to sell her to Belgium. And they used Canturo and it was Kanya Makan. And in the end, another 150 horses, I think.
So yes, he was right.
And you know, in the end, it's also a lot of luck and to be unlucky with horses and breeding. Of course, you have a plan and you have an imagination of a good horse and an aim what you want to follow. But to have a good result is, in the end, also a very big piece of luck, I think.
In the case of your father, do you think that he had a vision that others didn't see? Or was he very stubborn when he decided that he was going to breed?
Yes, and it was at the time, both a little bit, but it was at a time when you could also sell not so good horses for good price at that time.
Okay.
It's today, it's very hard to sell normal horses. You have a good price for a very good horse, but the normal horses that are the problems, you know. Especially when you want to live from this business. And
Definitely. So
I'm all the time thinking about, are my mares, which I now use, are they good enough? And what would be the best match with what stallion? And I'm honest, if I have two not so good foals, I try to sell them. Or they become carrier mares or something else. Today, it's just worth to breed with your best mare, you know.
Yeah, and that was something that I really wanted to ask you about and try to understand, because you have had a successful breeding career, your father had a successful breeding career, but in addition to that, you have also had roles with the Holsteiner Verband, with mare and foal committees, and going around assessing mares and foals. What, in your opinion, do a lot of the really good or the really successful mares share? What characteristics or what traits? Or to put it a different way, if you are trying to decide on mares for your own breeding program, which ones you keep and which ones you sell, what are the really important traits for you that they must have before you will breed with them?
Yeah, of course, they have to be jumpers and they have to be sportive horses, athletic horses, good in their conformation and all these things. But that is normal. In the end, the things what have all the successful mares in common is that they have a extraordinary genetic, and it's foundated in the families you breed with. It is in my case, it is Holstein Mare family 4539. And there are some more very important mares in Holstein like Vodka or Wismar. They are so wealthy and they are so important. Of course, you can try with a mare which is beautiful and is a good jumping horse, but in the end, it's all the time the successful families in Holstein from 10 different families, I think. It's in the end, it's all the time the same. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, that it keeps coming back to the same good families, the same good mares.
Yeah, and that is the genetics, That is not just to cross Diamant with Cornet. They do that a lot. In many different ways, with many different mares and individuals, but you have a good family behind them with good genetics. That is, I think, the most important thing. I am in the lucky position that I have the legacy from my father, and he developed a re really good mares family with this stem. And that is the reason that is not just the Sukkulhu at the moment. There are some more successful horses from this family on the competition circuit at the moment, like Elysium.
Yeah, and like what we were just saying before we just started recording, like to have two horses from the same dam line, both starting the World Cup in Leipzig is pretty impressive. With the families as well that you have from your father with this particular dam line, when you go back, it's like generation after generation. There's so many generations of the mare line that have been bred by your family. It also gives a really good advantage that you really, really know the families. You've
Yeah,
had
you're right. Yeah.
mare after mare after mare after mare. So you know the good and you know the bad, and you probably know how to work with it better than if you went out and bought a new mare now. Before I move on from that, I'd also like to know, are there specific traits that when you're selecting that you really do not like, that if a mare has particular traits straight away, it's a no and she moves on?
Bad canter, short neck, not correct feet. Bad hooves. That is a big problem. We need good hooves for the horses that they stay sound. That's the most important thing.
I read before that when the mares are four, you put them under saddle, you ride them a bit. If they're good enough, they get to stay as brood mares. It's doing it a different way. It's not if they're good enough, you produce them in the sport. If they're good enough, you breed with them and then the others go. So the fact that you're two riders and you're two people that are involved in breeding, when you're making your selections, do you both like the same type of a horse, or do you go for different things?
Very similar.
Yes, I think yes.
We have the same idea from a good horse.
Yeah, and it's for me, like I'm small, and so they have to be nice to ride and nice character. They have to have a good character. If they're not nice horses in their character, then we also stopped one breeding with one mare because we thought, oh, it's not positive enough.
She was against us.
Yeah, she was against,
Yes.
and so, and her breeding, her the offspring, yeah, her offspring was not so really nice horses. Yeah, so we stopped it with her. Yeah, and
Yeah,
it doesn't
because
matter then when they jump really good. This is most important, of course. But when you can't handle them and they're not so, yeah, then it's also what is important for the breeding, I think. They can be difficult, but they're not allowed to be nasty. That's what I mean. Yeah, and you have this. Like, we have one brood mare, and I know they are lovely. I mean, it's the first thing I say, you know, I ride, you know, these horses because they're so nice to ride. And you have it also the other way around. It's nicer to keep these one. That's what I think. Yeah. And that's the same opinion, I think.
yeah.
Yeah.
Typically, do you just ride them for your 4-year-old year, for their 4-year-old year, and then make the selection?
And with
So,
three, like
okay.
we break them in when they're three. Some of them do a test, a mass test, or depends. And yeah, and then we decide, some of them get pregnant when they're three,
Okay.
and then have their foals when they're four. And then you can see, then you know how you can ride them, and you see a foal already when they're four. So this is the most, not the nicest way. We always try to do it. It's not always possible, of course. It's horses, but yeah, that's how we
Does
do it.
I know if it's different if a mare gets injured, but for all the other mares, does every mare get put under saddle with you before she goes into your breeding program?
Yes, all the horses will be
If
ridden.
possible, if
Yes,
possible,
yeah,
yes. But normally, yes, of
yes,
course, we want to know what we have.
yeah.
Well, that's what's
Because
great.
we don't have the opportunity to ride them until they are successful in 140 or 150 competition. That way is too long and costs too much money. So
Which is sad. I mean, that would be the right way, but
it costs a lot of money,
yeah.
and in the end, you have not enough offspring of these mares, not enough foals.
Yes.
To start when they are 50, and then it normally at that age it becomes difficult to get them pregnant. So we use the first years. Mostly when they are three, we make them pregnant. They go in the field with a foal at four, and then often then we start to decide or make the next decision: will we keep them or will we sell them?
And approximately how many foals do you have in a typical year?
You know, we also care for mares from other people, from clients,
Okay.
and we have all times about 20 foals a year, 10 to 50 of our own, and also from other people.
You mentioned earlier on in the conversation that if a mare has, for example, two foals that you're not happy with, then sometimes you'll sell the mare. When you're assessing your foal, for you, what are the most important attributes you look for, particularly in looking at jumper foals, jump bred foals? What are the most important attributes that you're looking for in those offspring?
They have to be sportive and nice types, light types. Yeah.
You know, when you decide, for example, you have one foal that you're disappointed with, she's probably already pregnant. She has her second foal and you're disappointed. What are the sort of things that you really don't want to see? I'm wondering how you make those decisions. Like, what are some examples of situations where you decide they need to
You know,
go?
there's a difference between a good foal and then not so good foal, and we want to have lovely types and good movements. Very important is the canter.
Well, very often you have so good mares and so good foals that you have to sell also a good mare because we have too many.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
not
of
always
course we
because
have
they bear seldom.
we have to keep the business running. Of course, sometimes we have to sell a good horse for good money because we have our costs and all these things. Normally, you can't decide from the first two foals, is it a good mare or not? If you believe in your mare and the genetics, You should go the longer way, like my father. We are at that point again. But it's expensive nowadays. When you get when there's nobody who wants the first two folds from a mare, why should you produce a third and a fourth one to keep them and to feed them and to ride them and sell them in the end for 5,000 euro? Makes no sense, you know. We have some very good mares, and we can sell the foals for good money. And people ring us before the year before and ask, "What stallion did you use, or can I buy an embryo or something like that?" That makes sense nowadays because we have to live from that. It's our only business, you know.
And typically you sell the majority as foals. I know with the fillies you're going to keep probably to make decisions later, but typically you sell everything as foals, is it?
Well, not everything, because half of them nobody wants them.
Okay.
And
Okay.
these are the ones we have to ride and educate when they are 3 or 4. And anyway, it's often very good horses. Yeah, sometimes it's very hard to keep the best fillies. If you have an idea, or I would like to keep a filly from this mare, and she's already 14 and maybe it's her last, and I don't have anyone from her. I'm just in the situation that I have some very interesting mares, and I have no female offspring from them to keep the line. In the end, somebody's coming and offering you good money for that. You say, "Okay, good, we will do. I'll try again next year."
Yeah, it's a difficult decision.
Yeah.
Marina, if I'm not mistaken, you are a former German champion. You won a team bronze medal at the World Equestrian Games in 1990, and you also competed at the Sydney Olympic Games in 2000. A number of the horses that you rode in your career, I believe, were some of them were homebreds also. No?
No.
But there are some homebreds, and even on your website, there are some homebreds that
Yes.
you're riding and eventing.
Yeah. But before I rode the horses that I thought were good, and I didn't care so much about the breeding. I mean, yes, of course, I was interested, but and the most important thing was the thoroughbred for us at that time. Now it's a bit different with the sport, but you know, we had with steeplechase and with was you know we needed a lot of thoroughbred. So yeah, so I was riding Hanoverians and
English, Irish
English,
horses.
Irish, Trakehners. Yeah, and then yeah, we married, and then I rode Holstein horses also. It doesn't matter.
But it was the time when
The
the
time,
sport changed, you know.
yeah, we had a
Yeah.
lot of thoroughbred in
Yeah.
that. That was the most important thing that we looked at, really. Good horses and thoroughbred to keep, yeah, so be the fastest in the end, yeah.
Is eventing something that you still consider or breed for in your breeding program, or is it 100% focused on jumping at the moment?
You know, the difference between these two breeding directions are not so big anymore. A good eventing horse is also good, has to be a good show jumper, and a good show jumper has also to be a light horse, which could be a good eventer, you know. Normally we breed show jumpers, but often we sell them as event horses. Maybe because we have so many connections in the eventing scene that we sell horses in that sport.
Yeah, and you also looking for good movements.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for we use thoroughbred still to keep them light. So
Yeah.
yes, it's the same really.
We don't
Yeah.
use so many Belgium horses because it's important for us to keep them light and sporty, the horses. And that not always the Belgium stallions.
And what I said before, you know, if they're nice to ride, you can ride them dressage, and that's also important. And also for the show jumping nowadays, isn't it? They have to be so well ridden, and also for the eventing. So it's the same what you breed in the end. Yeah.
And we also used normally a thoroughbred stallion for our mares. We had one in our farm here in natural covering over years now, but he's old now and he's sold. He was from the Holsteiner Verband. And so we had every year one foal by a thoroughbred stallion that was normal here in our place, in our breeding. That is also our idea to have good half-blood mares.
What was the name of the stallion?
His name was Fragonard.
Throughout your international eventing career, Marina, are there particular days that really stand out to you as highlights, like really special days?
I think badminton Burley. I was competing my whole life, I think, and it was always, my life. It was wonderful. I could do ride international competitions with so many horses, and I had really had good horses, wonderful horses. And then I had the children, and I thought, oh, do I ride again? Do I not? And then I got this wonderful Holstein mare to ride. Kalmar Shelley, and so I had another chance to go to so good competitions. I mean, we started her off, and then built her up, and then I know we said, why not go to Burley? And we said, yeah, and so we did, and it was, I mean, we went to Burley, and next year badminton. Yeah, that was just, I think this was. The family was there, and
Actually, it was
that
second
was
after
it.
the cross country day
Right.
with the Holstein
And I had one done with this Holstein mare.
mare.
The last call at the last fence. Good. Anyway, no, but that was just fantastic. Yeah.
It must be an incredible experience. I've only been to badminton once as a spectator, and you walk along the course and it's terrifying. It's hard to imagine that a person chooses to go and compete on it. Like it's huge. It's so daunting to even just to watch it.
I can't remember the year when that was 92. I don't know exactly. I've been there before, 92, I think. I've been before, and it was still with steeplechase and everything. And then I was riding Sundance Kid, and I fell at the second Luckington Lane. So I had all the way around. I was nearly close home. And then we fell, and I had to stop. And I thought it was so great. I mean, and so my aim was always to do it again because it was so much. We went, when you fell, and then you drive home, and you still think you're wonderful. You still think, wow, that was something. So, yeah, you can't lose. Yeah.
You obviously have a very positive outlook on life.
No, it was. And then we went there, and she was just cantering over that course. It was so easy for the Holstein mares. She had so much jumping and so much cantering and everything. She was wonderful. Yeah. So, yeah. So that was the best, I think, to do it again. To be on, like, when you're young, you think, this and this, I have to do it better. And then you have the chance to do it again, and you're just so lucky, and you know that you're so lucky because it's not normal. When you're young, you think it's normal, but it's not. And then you have the chance again to do it again, and you think, wow, yeah. So yeah, so I thought it's quite cool.
In the time that you were competing, you probably saw a lot of change in the sport. And I'm sure you probably both still keep an eye on the eventing world a bit. What do you think the main changes will be in the next 10 years?
I really don't know, but I think it is the riders that are riding now, eventing, they ride so well. I mean, they could ride dressage or show jumping, or they're just so good, and the horses are so good. So yeah, it's always lovely to see, I think. When I was young, or when we had this sport, when somebody fell, that was normal. Yeah. And now we get a new attitude, and we don't want to see it anymore. And we see now the good riding and can enjoy fantastic horses. I mean, like looking at Paris, it was wonderful. Yeah. We were just sitting there at the telly and thinking, oh, it was good. Yeah. And I hope that it's, and I so many people love the sport, so I hope it will always be there.
But I think we can be lucky when we have the sport still in 10 years.
Yes.
That is the main problem. We have so
Just
many people against us, unfortunately.
but all the jumping.
But not especially against eventing, about riding anyway in every form, you know. Some
Definitely.
there are people which go crazy and say, put them in the field and give them a carrot and then they are fine. But that is not our opinion from ours. Underwriting.
You mentioned Paris, and Paris was an incredible moment for you guys and for your breeding program. Again, so many breeders dream of breeding a horse that's good enough to go to the Olympics, but then the luck or the chance and all that needs to go right can have them good enough, but then to actually get there and get the opportunity is also incredible. To have Zucchero at the Paris Olympics coming off the back of a European team gold, he had already done so, you know, he had already achieved so much, but then to get to the Olympics, I think was quite special. And I think it's incredible that it's another horse from the same dam line that, you know, that your father produced a horse from the same dam line that got to, it was two Olympic Games with Chin Chin. Thinking back to him, you sold him as a foal to the Holstein Verband. Do you still have a very clear picture in your mind of what he was like as a foal?
It was an interesting foal because of the breeding. You know, it was the first Scirocco Blues in Holstein. You know, Scirocco Blue was an Alpine for the approval from the VDL stud. And I saw him alive there at that time. And I said to my father, I think the stallion could fit to our mares. I would like to try him next season. And you know, I also make the su suggestion to a client, Manfred Tummes, who bought a filly in our place some years before. And we took care from for the filly and for the mare. And she had, I don't know exactly how many foals she had in our place, but a lot. A very nice foal. It was a mare by Coronado. Coronado Kidam, and then the full sister to Chin Chin. In the end, Manfred Tummes also used Scirocco Blue, and I used him for two mares from the mare from the mother from Zucchero, and also with another contender mare, and that Scirocco Blue mare I still have. And in the end, it was two international horses from that year with this stallion. And the best story is our breeding manager at that time. He came in our place and asked, "What stallions did you use?" And I said, "I tried Scirocco Blue." And he said, "Oh, we have so many good stallions. Why do you use him?" But in the next year, he came and bought the colt. And then, you know, the end of the story. In the end, it is the most successful stallion at the Holstein Verband at the moment.
Shows the importance of doing what you believe in.
Yeah.
Similarly to the way you spoke about your father at the beginning, you have to do what you feel is right for you and your mare because
Yeah.
it rewarded you in an Olympic horse. He must have been a nice foal, obviously, when the Holstein Verband bought him. But do you remember what was special about him?
It was a very nice colt, and he was full of power like he is now, you know. Not with a typical Holstein canter, but with a very powerful canter and a very nice face. And he was the second foal from the mare. The first foal was by Quatros that bought Wiebke van der Lagerwich. And it is a successful show jumper in Hungary now. Very nice mare, also up to 150 classes. The main thing is, you know, if you breed a horse like that, the worth of the mother, it's increasing. Unbelievable at that time. And there are so many people asking for offspring of this mare or sisters or something like that. That is really crazy that the people are fixed really on some very important mares.
And it's great if you can benefit from that because sport horse breeding is so slow. Often by the time you get the successful horse, the mothers are gone, but it's great that that wasn't the case. Do you still have the mother at the moment? And
Yes.
is she breeding herself, or are you
No,
doing embryos?
I took two embryos last year.
So what are you expecting for 2025?
We get first one by Hermitage
Okay.
and one by Carlo de Calvary. It's a young Belgian stallion which belongs to the Holsteiner Verband. Yeah. I also have her mother. She's 23 now, the old contender mare. That is one of our most important mares. She's also in foal with $1 million this year.
Did you stand contender at some point?
Yes, he was in our place for a long time, yeah.
What was he like as a character? Say that again, Marina.
Quiet.
He was wild. You know,
Okay.
it's a funny story because you also ask for the things my father did. And, you know, when Contender was a young stallion and he was in the approval in Neumünster for the Holsteiner Verband, at that time my father was on the commission. And he was a reserve champion in that year. And the official persons, the managers from the Holsteiner Verband, they said, oh, we don't need him, not really. And there's a good offer from the Oldenburg Verband, from some people from Oldenburg, and we should sell him. And my father said, you're completely crazy. We can't sell this stallion. You will never have a stallion like him again. And if you sell him, I will do nothing more for you, and I will stop working for the Holsteiner Verband. And that was the reason that they just rent him but didn't sell him. And so he could come back after 3 years. He was for 3 years in Oldenburg, and then he came back to Holstein. And then, of course, in our farm here, because it was my father's intention to keep him in Holstein, and he was very successful in Oldenburg. Then the breeders were a little bit disappointed because it seems that Contender matched better to Oldenburg mares than to Holstein mares because we had some very heavy mares at that time. But anyway, we were very successful with him and had some very good horses with Contender. Was one of the most important stallions we had here in our farm, of course.
It's incredible to have the opportunity. I know if it wasn't for your father, nobody would have the opportunity, but it's great to have had the opportunity to have such an influential stallion like that on your farm, like to be around a horse like that. It's amazing the horses that have either come from the farm or stood on the farm. Like we haven't mentioned Colin, to win the Hamburg Derby once is impressive. To win it three times is in a row is incredible. And what's amazing is a lot of the horses that we've discussed tonight, that they're all coming from the one family. You mentioned earlier in the conversation about Chin Chin, and I'd really like to learn more about him or understand more about him, because you were saying that he was sold to America and ended up going to Mexico, but then later on, the impact that he has had since on sport horse breeding, particularly in Belgium, is incredible. That
Yeah, really
almost
unbelievable.
three of the most successful lines in Belgium and some of the most dominant lines in Europe, the fact that really the activity really starts with the Chin Chin daughters, it's something quite special. So I wanted to know what your earlier memories of Chin Chin were. And then why do you think he has been such a influential dam sire?
It's a very hard question.
Yeah, but I'm curious.
I don't really have an answer. You know,
Okay.
of course, I can describe Chin Chin, and I can describe all the positive things he has. But at that time, I would never, or we all would never have expected that he had such an influence in the European sport horse breeding. You know, and it started when he came back from Mexico, and at that time he was 18 or something like that. Some weeks ago, I had some clients from Brazil here, and they said, "Yeah, we have still Chin Chin semen, but nobody wants to use it because it doesn't fit to the mares we have." but it's completely different in the Netherlands and in Belgium. Also, he had also not the success in Holstein like he had in Belgium and the Netherlands. You know, we tried to get a mare pregnant with him in videos that at that time, but it doesn't work, unfortunately. You know, he was a very modern horse at his time. His jumping was unbelievable. And I think that is, it comes from as well from the mother's side and also from the father's side. You know, his father, Constant, he was a son, direct son of Corlea Bear. He was also an off farm for a very long time. And he was a very good jumper by himself. Hans Günther Winkler rode him at that time, but the sport was different to what it is now, and nobody realized that he's a really good horse with some very good positive things. So quick in his movement and so quick and so good reflexes and so careful. That comes from Cordell Bear and from Constant. And of course, the power of and Scopey from the Dam line. And again, in the end, it's a lot of luck to find the right match and produce good horses. But I can't tell you why. You have to ask Joris de Brabander why his curly chin is so successful.
What can you
Maybe
tell me about Chin Chin's
he
mo
can give you an answer that would be interesting for me as well.
I hope so one day. He's not a fan of interviews.
Yes, I know him.
What can you tell me about Chin Chin's mother? Because often with successful horses and successful breeding stallions, we give so much thought to their father, but a lot of the time it's as important or more important to know their mother, but we never discuss her. With Chin Chin, do you still have a clear picture of what his mother was like?
Yes, of course. I wrote the mother as well, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. She was a very spooky horse. She was by the Holstein stallion, old-fashioned Holstein stallion Farnese. And they all were very spooky. She had eyes like this and she saw everything and but she was from very good rideability and a very good, very high-scored Holstein mare at that time. A very beautiful and modern mare at that time. You know, the types were sometimes very different at that time. It was in the beginning of the 17th. And the types at that time were very different. There were unmodern horses and then was, you know, we had stallions like Lord. He was three-quarter thoroughbred. Nobody would use him now with so much percentage of thoroughbred blood, but it was a different time, and also the horses were different. But you know, of course, the influence which Cordelia Bear had in Holstein, it is not just Contender, it was also horses like Constant in the first generation and a lot of stallions more. They changed the way of jumping, the attitude of jumping in Holstein. Of course, it was with the French stallions. And because they were so successful with Cordelia Bear, they tried a lot of
Other
other
ones.
French stallions like Silbersee or Fée de Louis, and we didn't use Furioso because he was in Oldenburg. And what else did we use? Or some more, but not with that success like Cordelia Bear. There's still Frozen Semen from Cordelia Bear. Did you follow that? They just made a auction with very old straws from like Cartago and Capitol, and there are some people who like that and spend a lot of money for these straws. But also a lot of other stallions nobody want anymore, and that is good. You know, we have to look forward. There's the word breeding progress, and it's no breeding progress when we use Lord again or Capitol. You have to meet Harm Tomilin and hear his story about Capitol. That might be funny.
Yeah, because we're going so far back to try and go forward. It's always my view on it also that we're trying to breed something born in 2025. We're hoping that it's going to be at the top 2035, 2037, going back 30 years, 40 years genetically to try and go forward. It's hard to understand it.
But it is that way.
You've been around a lot of successful stallions. You've been the breeder of successful stallions, and you've had a lot to do with the Verband over the years, as well as having the stallions at your farm. What do you think is the difference between a good jumper, like a stallion being a good jumper, and a sire? What's the difference? You can have something that is a stallion and a very good jumper, but maybe not a stallion, not a sire. What do you think makes a sire?
Nowadays, a sire has to be a good jumper. Otherwise, nobody would use him, you know. 40 years ago, it was another thing. You know, the way we did the approval at the time when Chin Chin was not approved, we didn't make any loose jumping and not any free jumping. They were just shown in hand and running free, no jumps. And the funny thing is, anyway, they got the best stallions with a lot of breeding progress. They selected them, and we had a lot of breeding progress at that time because there were a lot of very good people who had an eye for the horse and selected in the right way. And today, it's completely different. You know, we just had the approval in Holstein, and you know how it works. The horses, which are trained very good and very good prepared for the show, they jump two classes better than all the others, than the ones which have a normal preparation. And in the end, they become the approved stallions and become the stallions which find a new client for a lot of money. Of course, the market and the situation is like it is, and we can't turn the wheel back. I think they did it better 40 years ago. They did the same job and they did it better. Now it's so many influences from people which who trained the stallions, and you can't see how the horses naturally, you know what I mean.
Yes.
That is a wrong picture of the market and the wrong picture of a horse often, unfortunately, because your question was, what is a good sire? And today he has to jump, and he has to jump much better than all the others. If not, nobody will use him. That is a little bit the problem. And I'm sure 40 years ago, there were also stallions which were normal jumpers. Contender, he never compete, you know. But anyway, he was a good stallion.
Yeah.
The situation is another today.
Within the stallions in the Holstein Verband, do you think there are any stallions that you find really interesting that are underrated or the breeders are not using enough and you think that more people should be paying attention to?
Of
In your
course, we have.
personal opinion?
Yes, of course, we have our favorites. You know, the most successful stallion is Casal. He owned so much money for the Verband, and he makes so many good horses, good sport horses. I remember a show where he was on the jump of he by himself and also two of his sons. That was unbelievable. But anyway, we had not so much luck with Casal, with our breeding. We had maybe more success with Clarimo. We are big fans from Clarimo. We got four foals from Clarimo this year. Of course, we use Tsukuru. We prefer Uriko.
Your question was different, wasn't
What I'm curious
it?
is, like those stallions that you mentioned, they're all quite popular and well supported, but you will see and hear and know a lot. And I'm curious, are there stallions in the Verband that you think that's a really good breeder and the breeders are not supporting it enough?
Yes, of course, yeah. It was Connor. He makes so many good horses, and he covered 15 mares last year, maybe. That is not enough for a stallion with so good offspring. And it is also Casalito, you know. Thing is, you know how successful a stallion is. You see 10 years later when the horses go in the big sport very often. And for example, nowadays it is Casalito, also son of Casal Landgraf. He has very good offspring. I want to use him this year. Not so many more.
Okay. But still, that's some.
We also were very good friends from the Ladykiller bloodline. And, you know, Livello, he was a very successful sport horse. He's now back in Ireland, I think.
He is.
We used him a lot. And we have some very nice horses by Livello when he came back, and now he's retired again. I think he was for another 5 years here in Holstein. And then we used him a lot.
He bred a small bit in Ireland while he was competing, and the strike rate was quite good. Quite a few of them became Grand Prix horses. Some of them went eventing. And then when he came back from Holstein to Ireland in recent years, he's been very popular. He's got a lot of support.
Yeah. And we used him especially because you can also breed eventers with him. We have two chances.
Good movements, huh?
Good movements, yeah. Light horses, good canter. Yeah. And you know, Janne Meyer, she has a very good Livello mare.
Yes.
Yeah. With so much thoroughbred blood in it. I think it's wonderful that she rides such a horse with such a blood horse.
As of December, you are now the deputy chairman of the Holsteiner Verband. So firstly, congratulations. I'm curious to know, what are your main ambitions for the Verband? What's the direction that you would like to see things going, or the most change, if you had a magic wand and you could decide the future of the Verband?
It's a very hard question. You know, the circumstances at the moment, they are not really good to breed horses and to run a business like the Holsteiner Verband is doing. And our original job is to register horses and to make a breeding program. And for this, we have our office in Kiel, and they have to do a good job. But then on the other hand, we have our own bunch of stallions. We are the only Verband, the only association in Germany who has 40 stallions. Everywhere else, they are in private, with private people, or there are some state studs. But that is a special character from the Holsteiner Verband, and that is the main business, and it's a hard business at the moment because the breeding goes back and it becomes all very expensive. And also there's a change of generations in the breeders. It's not the normal farmer who has three mares with his cows together. Sometimes it's very rich people and they have a new hobby, it's horse breeding. We can be lucky when the riders start horse breeding because they have the knowledge and the feeling for a horse. We have some of them, and they are very successful, like Sören von Rönne or something, people like him, you know. The stallion keeping to help the breeders to sell their foals and horses.
Yeah, with the marketing.
The marketing, right. And of course, the registration of the horses. These are these three things we have to do. And we had times when we earned a lot of money with very good stallions like Contender and Casal, of course. But Casal is now 26, I think.
Yeah, I think he's 99, yeah.
Yeah. And we need a new Casal or something like that who earns the big money for the Verband. That is a little bit the problem. And you know, the next problem is if you have, we just spoke about stallion approval. It's not really any more selection for the best sires. It's more marketing of good jumping stallions. And it is hard for people like us in the Holsteiner Verband to spend so much money for a really good stallion. And then we have to find other ways to keep them in the country and to make them usable for our breeders. That is our biggest problem, to have an interesting genetics and good stallions. And of course, our stallions, which we have, they have to go to the shows and have to compete, that the people see them, and they have to compete successful, like Tsukuro. And in that moment, we need person like Bengtsson or other people. Mm-hmm. Richard Vogel with Craig, that is the best public relations we have, of course. And it's so important.
If we were to move forward again, 10 years time, for example, how would you like to picture how the Holstein Verband operates, or the different parts of the business, the stud book? How would you like the picture to be different in 10 years time? Or where do you see it?
You know, in the end, we want to obtain the business. I hope there are still breeders, enough breeders. I hope we can keep our Verband. You know, in the end, you know that in whole Europe, it's nearly the same horse, because we all use the best stallions like Conor Dobolensky or Diamante Simile or horses like that. And we have to work out the differences between the breedings. You know, whether you know that we had a closed stud book 5 years ago that costs us a lot of members, a lot of mares, because the people had other ideas. They want to use stallions from France or Ireland or Sweden, or just from Oldenburg or Mecklenburg. And the stallions at that time, they were not allowed in the Holstein stud book. But it was our idea to keep our identity. And I hope we have our identity also in 10 years and have a Holstein Verband and not a whole German breeding association. You know, and we are just the office to register the horses. That is not the thing we want.
This might be something that the Verband are working on all the time, but how do you attract and keep the interest of young breeders?
Yeah, you know, my personal idea is that the young breeders, they come from the sport. We have so many good young riders in our country and in whole Germany. And of course, they are not keen on breeding when they are 25 and want to compete and want to be the fastest one in the jump off. But very quick, they are interested in what horse they are riding and where the horse comes from. And I think that is the future of the horse breeding. And so it makes it important that breeding and competing and shows, it has to come together, you know. It's not good when these are two different things. And in our approval, you find a lot of riders which train the stallions and are interested in that, especially when they come from a horse breeding family, like the Witt family or the Allmann family, you know.
It is interesting. I've noticed 10 or 15 years ago, it was a little bit unusual to have breeding conversations with riders. In Ireland, this was my experience. And now it's unusual if the riders cannot have a breeding conversation, which is quite a short space of time. But it's, if I think of the younger riders, that they have stallions and they want to do some business with the stallions, so they have to think, they have to talk more to the breeders, or they have a really good mare and they know the pressure will be on to sell, so they have to think about, okay, embryo transfer, and okay, what stallions am I going to use, or this one looks really good, how can I buy the next one before it's expensive? It's coming quite a lot. My final question is the question that I end each interview with. It's linked to the last question, really. It's, what advice would you offer to a young person or to someone at the start of their breeding program? How would you advise a young breeder starting off now?
The young breeders, they have to be interested in the sport and have to find out what a good sport horse is and what the qualities of a sport horse in generally is. And then they have to ask people what is the best, what are the best mares family in our breeding and in our area and maybe all over Europe. You know, it's normal that they buy female offspring of the Quali-Chin family. You find them everywhere nowadays. But people have to, young breeders have to watch the sport and speak to riders and what they think is important for a horse, for a young horse, and also for a top competition horse. Yes, that would be my advice.
Marina, anything to add to that?
Well, in the Holstein horses, I think before I was in Chennai, I rode all horses, and now I ride just what we breed. And I think to be proud of your own horses is also, and believe in them, is nothing to do with choosing the stallion in that moment. But I think this is also very important
Yeah.
to see
Yeah,
them that
that's right.
believe in them, the
Yeah.
horses that you breed. And
And to give them every chance you
yes.
can do.
Yeah.
That is what she's doing. The horse has every chance to develop and to produce. You know, I'm sometimes really quick in my decisions and oh, it's not a good horse and we have to get rid of him. And Marina said, oh no, let's wait and give him a chance and that's our normal discussion.
But it's amazing what time can do.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes, why not send it to a friend or share it on your social media?